132. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of We Got Next Plus. Hey, me and Mo, it was such a crazy game tonight. We thought we'd come on for a few minutes and just talk about what we just went watched go down in Denver and in game one of the Western Conference Finals, where the Nuggets outlasted the Los Angeles Lakers 132-126. The Joker was spectacular, 34 points, 21 rebounds, 14 assists. Anthony Davis, 40 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. LeBron James, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. But I thought the difference in this game, Mo, was Murray for the Nuggets, 31 points. Caldwell Pope, 21 points. Michael Porter Jr., 15 points. And they all shot the ball well. Bruce Brown, 16 points. Denver shot the ball extremely well tonight. 50 of 91 from the field, which is way over 50%, if my math is right. But I would be a little concerned if I'm the Nuggets.
Well, for sure. I mean, the Nuggets have more to worry about now than the Lakers do after this game. Now, they have a 1-0 lead in the series. That's great. But if I'm the Lakers, I feel better than I do if I'm the Nuggets, because we almost threw that game away. And guess what? We had to make crazy shots to get that game under control. I mean, the Joker makes a 30-footer at the end of the third quarter with Anthony Davis in his face, and Porter hits a corner three with Reeves in his face, and Jamal Murray hits a three with somebody in his face. So, you know, they're hanging on, and the Lakers just kept plugging away and plugging away. And, you know, like I said before this series started, it's going to be a close series. Any team can win this. But in the long run, I think Denver is a deeper team than the Lakers. And the Lakers played well. They had Hachimura on the Joker in the post, and then they doubled him with AD. But late in the game, it cost him, because then when he missed the shot, Gordon got the rebound because there was nobody else there because AD was helping. So there's going to be some adjustments made. But if you look at the overall game, right, the Joker had his game, Murray had his game, Pope had 21, Porter had 15 and 10, Gordon had 12, Brown had 16. And if you look at the other end, AD had his game, 40 and 10, like you said, LeBron had his almost triple-double, and then Reeves came through. But besides those three, Russell had 8, Schroeder had 6, you know, Hachimura had 17. But, you know, in the long run, Denver is a slightly deeper team. But, I mean, it was a clean game. You look at Denver had 30 assists and 10 turnovers, and the Lakers had 31 assists and only 6 turnovers. And both teams, at the end, the Lakers actually shot better than Denver, 55% to 54, and actually better from the three, 48 to 47. So this is going to be an interesting series. The one thing that stuck out to me, Ricky, and I don't know if you noticed it, kind of bothered me a little bit. I think there was too much respect and friendliness between the two teams. They were helping each other up. You know, AD smiled at the Joker when he busted one in his face. LeBron was patting Jamal Murray on the back and gave him one of these.
Gave him a thumbs up after
that. And then he was like, "Dad, what is this? Isn't this the West Finals? Shouldn't there be some more competitiveness? I mean, this is nicey-nicey ball, man."
Didn't you used to help Kevin McHale up off the floor?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I helped him up so I could knee him in the face, maybe. I mean, you know, and, you know, at the end of these series, even at the end of these games, everyone's giving them bear hugs and everything. We shook hands and said good luck. But it's like a love fest out there. And now
I did notice. Mom, you know what's funny, Mom? Like, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to cut you off, but I did notice that.
I'm like, wait a minute, what? What? This is the opposite of the series they just got through with, right? That's like, no.
But I will say, I would have to kind of shake my head on the one the Joker hits in the third quarter. I mean,
I would never do that. Never would I let him see that. Now, I could go in the huddle and go, damn, Ricky, you see that? But I'm not letting him see me do that.
Right,
that's
right.
Ridiculous. I mean, guess if you did that to Michael Jordan, guess what would happen?
Right.
You know, he would step on your neck and break it. I mean, you know, or Barkley or Magic or Bird. Come on, man. There's too much friendliness.
I did notice that. Other thoughts about this game. And you know, I'm looking at this box score. Russell, only 8 points. Schroeder, only 6 points. Walker, who has played with them, only 6 points. That's where they got to get more, right, Mo?
Yeah, and I mean, Schroeder has his hands full because if you notice, he's guarding Jamal Murray most of the game. And you know what he's doing? He's pressuring him all the way down the floor. That's very difficult to do. And hopefully it'll tire Murray out. And actually, you know, one of the biggest possessions of the game is when Denver challenged the foul, the fifth foul on Murray, and got that corrected and gave it to the Joker. Because if you remember, about four minutes left, Murray did get his fifth, and that would have been his sixth. So that was a big challenge. By Denver. And, you know, it looks like it's going to be a knockdown, drag out, score wise, not personality wise. Hey, you okay, buddy? Good. Hey.
But Paul, you know what I was impressed with, though? And if they continue doing that, they're going to push them. Was the Lakers' half court defense, even though, the Nuggets were making shots.
Yeah, I mean, Hachimura, I thought he was too little. Too little. He looks like a kid guarding Joker, but he did a very good job and was effective in bodying him and getting him out of his comfort area. You know, that strategy worked out this game. Now, you know, Denver's going to come back and figure out we got to do something else. But this is, you know, the matchups I told you about a couple of days ago. The Lakers have no answer for the Joker because AD is getting foul trouble. He's too skinny, and they have Hachimura on it, but that's it. And Denver has no answer for LeBron. LeBron is too strong. They have Murray guarding him. What are you doing with that? Because they're switching. But AD is the key. I mean, he had a great game. And, you know, if I'm the Lakers and I'm in that locker room or I'm the coaches, I'm saying, listen, you know, we could have had that one. We let them get too far ahead in the third quarter, up 20. But damn, man, they had to make unbelievable shots to win this game. And they're not going to do that all the time. We keep doing what we're doing, and we'll be okay.
Hey, take us inside the locker room of the coaches. And we're going to move on to the lottery that took place tonight. But what are these coaches doing right now? You got a game 48 hours from now. What's going on with them?
Well, with the video staffs have it all broken down already after the game. What you do is, as an assistant coach, you hand your computer to the video people. They plug it in. They get the game onto your computer and broken down possession by possession, defense to offense. And then all these assistant coaches will go through it. And the head coach and the first assistant will say, listen, if I'm Denver, we got to figure out a way that we're not going to let Hachimura guard the Joker in the post. That's ridiculous. We can't let that happen anymore. We got to figure out a way. And I could tell them right now, they're coming late on the double team with Anthony Davis, who is guarding Gordon, right? So they're going to have to pull him out farther, so it's farther distance for Anthony Davis because he blocked a shot late in the game and affected another shot. So we're going to watch film. We're going to see who's open. Maybe we need to cut. If you look at early in the game, the Joker caught a pass And then someone cut and he hit him with a pass for a layup early in the game. We need more of that, guys. Let's cut. And so if we're the Lakers, we're saying, listen, we can't, we got to figure out a way not to switch out on Jamal Murray. We got to keep Schroeder on him as much as possible, but someone else is going to have to step up and absorb that. And, you know, we're going to keep doing what we did because we were right there and they had to play their butts off to win this game.
Yeah. Great stuff, Mo. Here's
one other thing I'll throw at you, Ricky. So,
yeah.
And the Lakers, right now, they said, you know what? Because they spent 3 days or whatever getting that strategy, right? They knew that coming in the game, down in crunch time, they're going to have Hachimura body him out, and then we're going to come with Anthony Davis late. They already had that planned out. That worked. However, in the back of their minds, they got to say, listen, they're going to counter this. But we have to go with the second or third strategy. Maybe we start with that strategy, and if they adjust to it, we have strategy A2 that we can go to in game two.
Hey, let's get to the lottery. You know, I'm here in Detroit, and it is a rough night in the Motor City, Mo. The Pistons fell as far as you could fall. They had a 14% chance of getting the number one pick, slid all the way to the number five pick, and it's a party in San Antonio as the Spurs got the number one pick, which is going to be Wembanyama, the big 7-4,
well,
7-5.
Well,
Wembanyama,
for sure.
Yeah.
This is the first pick, so this is they're not going to trade it. They're going to pick Wembanyama, and that's it. You know, a lot of times after this drawing, you know, will they trade that first pick or who will they pick? Not this year. They're going to keep it, and they're going to keep it with the 7-4 player from France that has an 8-foot arm span and can shoot threes and handle it like Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant and Garnett.
Yeah. Number two, you're going to have Charlotte with the second pick. You know, Scoot Henderson, who you've seen play out in Vegas. Brandon Miller is a possibility from Alabama. Amen Thompson from Overtime Elite. Cam Whitmore from Villanova. Anthony Black. Your thoughts on Charlotte getting the number two pick?
I mean, really, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah. If you didn't get the first pick, who's a game changer, then, you know, you pick, you need to go, and I haven't broken down their roster. You need to pick who you need position wise and talent, because all these guys, if you need a point guard, it's probably Scoot Henderson, even though I think he's inconsistent. I don't think, he's going to have a struggle to play against that more athletic players. I think that's a struggle, but if you need a point guard, that's probably who you go with. If you need a scoring wing, then you go with Brandon Miller from Alabama, even though he had some troubles in the past, some big troubles in the past. And now we've talked about Ja Morant and all he's gone through. But, you know, to me, Brandon Miller is the most ready for NBA action right now as a scoring wing. And the other guys, you know, the Thompson brothers both played at Overtime Elite. Kevin Ollie's group in Atlanta, you know, they're both 18 years old. They're two brothers, and they're 6'7", very skilled. They're not ready for the NBA yet. So, you know, you look at what your roster is, and, you know, quite frankly, some of these picks might be traded. So,
I was telling one of my buddies after the Pistons didn't get that number one pick, that, you know, our chances are just as good as anybody of coming up with a good player, because it's such a drop-off from that number one to the rest of those guys. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, to me, you know, despite getting your choice, having 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is the same pick to me. I mean, you know, obviously you want two because you could pick exactly who you want. But right. Talent-wise, they're all – you know, Scoot, I would put Scoot Henderson in with the Thompson brothers. Brandon Miller is the one that stands out to me. It might be the next guy that could impact our team. But other than that, you know, do we want to Do we want to keep our pick? Do we want to trade our pick with one of our younger players and get more of a veteran on our roster? You know, and if, like, if you look at, like, Orlando, who has the 6th pick, but they also have the 11th pick. So if they like Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller or someone else up there in that area, they can package both 6 and 11 and get bumped up to pick 2 or 3. So, you know, if I'm Orlando, I'm looking at that. And if I'm up there at 2, 3, or 4, I'm saying, okay, thank you. I could get the same player I could get at 3. I might be able to get a 6 anyway for less money.
Right. Yeah, I'm totally with
you. For less money. And then I get a good player almost the same as my 6th pick with my 11th pick for even less money. So that's an option too.
Totally with you on that. Hey, Mo, let's hit one more thing before we get out of here. 76ers let go of Doc Rivers. On We Got Next last night, you could see this coming.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with what's happened, you know, Monty Williams goes, Budenhauer goes, Nick Nurse goes, all, you know, great, really good coaches, great coaches. And they, all the teams struggled in the playoffs. So, you know, it pretty much freed up Philly to do the same thing with Doc Rivers. And, you know, the merry-go-round begins. I mean, you can shuffle this deck now, right? So, you know, Doc Rivers could end up in Toronto and Budenhauser could end up in Philly and Monty Williams could end up with the Bucks. I mean, you know, but right. If I'm Philly, I'm really watching them because we talked about this the other day. You will know because Daryl Morey, who's the GM of Philly, is very close with James Harden. And James Harden was atrocious in Game 7. He's been atrocious for years in Game 7s. But if they give him a max contract, that means that Daryl Morey's staying, and he's making the decisions, and look for Mike D'Antoni to be the next coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Does Wembanyama going to San Antonio means Papa stay a little longer now?
Absolutely. I think it extends his career 2 or 3 more years because we all know what happened when David Robinson got to San Antonio and then a few years later, Tim Duncan. So if I'm Pop, I don't have to go anywhere. I just went through a hellacious season, right? They were 22-60. So by the way, San Antonio, if you're listening, you're not going to make a big jump forward. You're probably going to be a play-in situation next year because all you have is you have all these guys that I don't even know the names of, you know, Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, Trey Jones, Jerry, all these guys who are 20 years old, 23, 24, you know, they come from good programs. You're looking at Kentucky, Florida State, Duke, Kansas, Baylor, but you know, they're average players and they all average double figures so they can play. But they're not going to jump you up into the stratosphere where, well, you know, we're going to be the 5th seed or the 4th seed. You need a wake-up call, you know. But Pop can wait now. And if he likes this roster and they develop and you put Wembanyama with them, you know, I could see Pop. If they didn't get that pick, I would guess Pop would have retired this summer. But now that they got that pick, I can see him coach another 2, maybe 3 years and see this thing out.
And he'll be a good coach to develop Wembanyama too.
I mean, the kid's from France, right? Yeah. And they had some kid named Tony Parker that was drafted, I think, in the second round. You know, that probably was all right. The French national team that Victor plays on, you know. And he's been known to help international players, you know, get to the stratosphere. Tim Duncan, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. David Robinson's, you know, even though he's a national, but, you know, he's been known to do that and has a great mentality and a great personality for that. And now in this time in his career, he can lay back and say, listen, I'm going to see what I can do with this group for the next 2, 3, maybe 4 years if it goes right.
Hey, one more thing, Mo. Your thoughts on tomorrow's game with the Heat and Celtics?
I just think out of the 4 teams left, I think Boston is the strongest with Lakers, Denver right there, and Miami is the least strongest team that can make a run for it. They play great. They've overachieved this year, actually. But I think their run has ended. And I think this could be a 5 or 6 game series with Boston winning. They, you know, Butler's phenomenal, but they don't have enough depth, and Lowry's older, and they don't have enough to overcome Boston.
What will have to happen for Miami to push them in this series?
Tatum has to get hurt. I mean, the last series, Butler played great. Bam Adebayo played great. They had some other guys step up, but that's not good enough against the Celtics. Just ask the Sixers. Just ask them.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, thanks for checking in with us, man. Boston, Denver, possibly in the NBA Finals. Yeah, good possibility.
I won't give up, Chris. I won't give up on the Lakers yet. They could steal game number two, and it's a different series, but I think the two best teams, which actually, right? So Denver's been the best team in the West all year, right? And yeah. Boston, between Boston and Milwaukee, they've been the best team in the East. So really, you play 82 games and you have all these series of play-ins and all this stuff. And really, at the end of the day, the best two teams are probably going to play in the finals.
Yeah.
And I hope so. And I don't know. You know, Tatum and the Celtics got a bad taste in their mouth from last year and, in the years past, that they got a chance to win it and put another banner in the Boston Garden. And the Joker and Jamal Murray have never been there. So I think that if they face off in the finals, that's going to have a lot to do. Because believe me, when I was coaching with the Dallas Mavericks and we went to the Western Conference Finals, 1 year, we didn't win, we lost to the Spurs and all that. That's one thing. And when we got in the finals against the Miami Heat, the finals are a whole different ball game. Instead of having 200 media at your shoot around, you got 1,000. And you got all these cameras and all this stuff and all this attention just on you. And it's tough for someone that's not been there, like the Joker and like Jamal Murray and the other group, to be able to adapt to that. So if it comes to that, Chris, I got Boston. Who you got?
Hey, well, we're going to get out of here, Mo. This is great, man. We'll be back soon. Just, we got next Facebook page, and we'll go from there. For Paul Mokeski, I'm Ricky Hampton. You've been watching We Got Next Plus. We'll see you soon. Peace. Thanks, Mo.
You got it.